So the big question is this: how do veterinarians like you, who live demanding lives,
who never seem to have enough time, able to achieve balance and take control of your finances with confidence?
That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answers.
We are Florida Veterinary Advisors, and this is the Smarter Vet Podcast. Hey, Smarter Vets, welcome back to the Smarter Vet Financial Podcast. This is your co-host, Tom Seco. I'm also co-owner of Florida Veterinary Advisors. We are a national personal and business financial planning firm based out of Tampa, Florida. Our mission is to provide a different way of thinking to make financial decisions easy so you can spend time doing other things, and you can fill in the blanks on that one. We have a lot of great content. If you haven't explored our site before, we've got race CEs, masterclasses, articles. I mean, we have a bunch of things that are available to you. So if you're trying to get more knowledge around your finances, definitely go check out our website. And if you haven't listened to all of our episodes on our podcast, you've got hours upon hours of listening that you can listen to. So make sure to go check out our other episodes. I have a fun guest on the show today. She's a fellow entrepreneur, but she's in veterinary medicine, which I think is really awesome to bring this perspective on, because there's so many people that get into this profession that do not take leaps. They tend to hold back from taking chances because of the uncertainty. And I find it very fascinating, the story of Megan, who's going to be on the show with us today, where she's got some really interesting experiences and where she's trying to go within her career. I want to bring onto the show now is Dr. Megan Sprinkle. She is a veterinary nutritionist. She is an industry consultant, and also she's a fellow podcaster, which is so cool to have another podcaster on the show. Thanks for coming on with me today, Megan.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So for those who haven't seen you before, because I know you're popping up all over the place, I'm noticing getting some good followers and everything else, which is cool. For those who haven't heard about you before, can you just give a little, you know, spotlight on where your background is and how you got to where you are now?
Yeah, I'm one of those veterinarians that knew she wanted to work with animals since she was very little. But I was really inspired by like marine mammals and zoo animals. So I went into vet school, or went to Auburn University for vet school, thinking that that's what I would do. And long story short, it's not exactly how it all turned out to be. I ended up going and specializing in nutrition. So did a residency in nutrition at the University of Missouri. And from there, I went straight into industry, which is also a little bit unusual of a track for a veterinarian to go straight into industry. And I wanted to do that because I wanted to have impact. I wanted to help a lot of animals, yes, but as I was finding out, I really loved helping other people. And so industry definitely had a lot of people for me to go and interact with, work with, and make big things happen. So ended up going into industry, and from Royal Canin, I am now with one of the largest pet industry consultancy groups. So I work remote, and then started my podcast almost 2 years ago, which is definitely my big passion, which again, I get to help my colleagues in veterinary medicine with Vet Life Reimagined. So that's just some of what I do. I like to stay busy, I think.
Yeah, you keep yourself very busy. And I don't know many veterinary nutritionists that are out there. So like, was there any motivating factor growing up that pushed you in that direction?
Definitely not growing up. Like I said, I was interested in like marine mammals and zoo. I had flown all over to work with these amazing different species. But along those trips, a lot of what I ended up doing, if you look back on all my internships and volunteer opportunities, what I did with these animals, whether it's conservation or, you know, in zoo settings, a lot of what I did was nutrition. Is like, you have to know how to feed these animals, because that's like the core of health, is making sure that they get the right nutrition. And so I really started to get sparked by nutrition and how much of an impact it can have, both in preventative but also in long-term treatment and care. So I was like, oh, well, I'll be a nutritionist for the zoo world. And that didn't exactly exist, veterinary nutritionists in zoo. Most of the nutritionists, which are really tiny in the zoo world, are PhDs, which is fantastic. But I was a unique, you know, person wanting to do that. So I was like, well, what can I do? I did a residency in companion animal nutrition because that's where I knew I could get some training there. And I actually fell in love with companion animals. And that's also where I really found my love for interacting and working with different people. Because as a nutritionist, like you said, there's not very many. So I was actually by myself as a resident and I had to go find work. So I had to walk the hospital. And what I really enjoyed was interacting with all the different services and supporting them and bringing, you know, an aspect of care, bringing that to help them with their own patients. So that's really where I started to get my love of nutrition. And again, it keeps growing even beyond nutrition these days. But now I somehow ended up being president of AAVN as well. And so I'm still very heavily in nutrition. I'm just doing a lot of things in addition.
That's cool. Yeah. It sounds like you've got the bug like me where it's hard to say no to things, especially when you're very passionate about it. Yes. It's everything keeps presenting itself and you're like, sure, I'll do it.
Exactly.
I find it interesting with the nutrition side of things because I started getting really big into it earlier in 2023 because, you know, I started changing my fitness program and just trying to understand more. Like, it's amazing how much people think that even on the human side of things where, you know, exercise and being active and all that helps to a certain level, but the percentage that it has the impact is so small in comparison to like how we fuel our bodies. And it's chemistry and bio, I don't know if it's a chemistry or biology or however that would get categorized. I'm not a science type person. I'm more math and business and economics, but it's fascinating how those things can have drastic impact. And I would imagine in veterinary medicine too, because now it's like, how do we make sure animals are living good lives? And if you're not feeding them the right things, of course, it could lead to certain diseases and illnesses and, you know, early lifespans, if that were the case. It's so fat. I feel like I can spend all day talking with you about this if I'm not careful. At what point in your career did you make that point transition to industry? And like, what is industry? Like, what does that mean?
That's a good question. I really figured it out more in my residency. I think a lot of people hopefully can relate to this, so I'm not alone. But going into vet school, you constantly have people tell you you're going to be broke. I mean, that is kind of what I heard. There was a lot of people that said, oh, it's hard to get into veterinary school and you don't go in for the money. You just live off of passion, I guess. So I just had this terrible money mindset, even starting into vet school. And then you don't get paid much in a residency either. So like I'm going years of not getting a whole lot of money through this. And then halfway through my residency, I was already thinking about next step. And I actually, people laughed at me for that too. It's like, man, you still got a whole nother year of your residency. I'm like, you got a plan. And so I was already thinking about these things. And we had different company reps that would come, and being a nutrition resident, I guess you get a little extra care maybe because, you know, you're the one that's recommending the diets a lot of the time. And so I formed great relationships with the different reps from, you know, Hills and Royal Canin and Purina. And one in particular, it was my Royal Canin representative, and she just always had the best attitude. She's always so happy and energized. And I'm often kind of blunt and direct. And I knew her. Again, I formed good relationships. And I was like, Jenny, why are you so happy? And how can I be happy too, like you? And so she loved what she did. And, you know, that's contagious. When you see somebody with that, you can feel it. And that kind of really opened up, oh, you know, industry is definitely an avenue. And kind of, I saw three different ones. One was private practice. There are nutritionists in private practice, but when I saw them, they were really having to fight for their value and their worth to be in these hospitals. And I'm like, well, I can do that. I'm not afraid to work. Right. And I was, you know, if that's the only route that was out there for me, I was prepared to work. I was already trying. But, you know, that seems like a hard life. To always have to validate yourself and work a lot for a handful of patients. Right. And then there was university. And thank goodness there are people who are meant to be in university. You keep doing you. but I could tell that there were some university politics. Things move really slow. You still had to fight a lot, especially in nutrition. Wait, man, keep those nutrition services in university. It's important. But again, that didn't quite seem the lifestyle or, you know, the everybody has to fight something, right? Choose your hard. Which hard do you want? That's not the hard I really wanted. And so industry seemed like, oh, okay, you seem to get paid all right. You seem to have a decent work-life balance. And I feel like I could really impact a lot of different people because of the resources that are available in an industry setting. So those were some of the mindsets I was kind of following that seemed like industry seemed to fit me a little bit better. So not going to lie, there were some financial reasons to that decision, but it was part of the overall decision to go into industry.
That makes a lot of sense. I'm always wondering what makes one person go in one direction versus another. And I appreciate you sharing that. And I would imagine to this point in your career, there's been some decisions that you've had to make that are very frightening. And, you know, maybe they haven't turned out as good as you thought they were, or there are some learning opportunities. That's something that you've experienced during this time period that you're like, wow, this is a really good chance for me to learn from. That wasn't quite what you had anticipated.
Oh, goodness. Can you narrow that down a bit? I always try to look at things as a learning lesson. Good. So I think when our previous conversation that we had, and I'm trying to keep my mindset a little around money and finances, when money decisions, like when you, it really hit me that, wow, I have a lot of responsibility, was actually after I got married. Mm. And that I didn't get married until I was already out working in industry. And, you know, it's kind of a bad time to hit you after you've gotten married. But I still remember I was sitting outside. It was like a moment that actually struck me. And I was sitting outside by myself, probably reading a financial book or something. I don't know. But it just kind of hit me that if one person within our extended families, like if something happened to them, who's the next most responsible, stable individual of you? The family? And all of a sudden, it was me. So I was like, oh, goodness. Okay. I have my husband's family. I have my family. So I guess I better start thinking about this and being a little bit more proactive. And this is saying, like, I already had financial advisors and planners and people that helped me with the investment aspect of, you know, my portfolio. But I was changing a little bit up to this point. But again, kind of having that weird money mindset through vet school and such, I really thought I could just get my investor person and I would just meet with them once a year. I would, you know, sign the things that I needed to sign and they would take care of it and I wouldn't have to think about it. And I think when you realize how much responsibility you have, you have to think a little bit more than just let the financial person, you know, do their thing. Yes, it's important to have the support team, but I think you do have to care just a little bit. You do have to put forth a little bit more proactive actions to making sure that you are financially in a good place and you are setting yourself up for success.
When you think about finances, what has been, because like a lot of vets that we talk to, they tend to be like, me and money just do not connect. Like we are not one and the same. I hear a lot of times, like, I do not do business. Like business is something like, it's like different language to me. I don't do vet med, so I know little bits and pieces. So I understand the feeling. From your perspective, and especially where you've gone from in your career to where you are now, because you've got a lot of things that you have going on too. What have you found to be like one or two things that you found to be very stressful about finances? Not just, I wouldn't say about being able to pay your bills, but like, is there anything specific that you found like, yeah, this has been just not knowing enough about it, or some area that's really put a lot of the strain on you mentally because you're just like, I don't know how to approach things or take the next step, or I'm really curious on your end.
Definitely. I think when you start learning just a little bit, you realize how much you don't know.
Yeah.
And so that can also be overwhelming, especially if you are interested in, you know, buying a practice. For me, it's looking at potentially different entrepreneurial endeavors. There is a lot of moving parts and things that go into these endeavors. But again, buying a practice, running the practice, right. there's these little aspects that kind of start to pop up, and it can be really overwhelming. It's kind of like that fear of what I don't know. So that can be really stressful, but absolutely the worrying about if you do have enough money, or do I have your risk tolerance too? And if you do have a significant other, or you are very close with other individuals, your risk tolerance or your money mindset or the way you approach money may not be the same as the other individuals around you. Right. And I think that can be very stressful as well.
Okay. And with like the decisions you've made, because like with some of these business ventures and everything, like what is one of the biggest driving factors that's causing you to do the things that you're doing today?
I think I am a very mission-driven person. And again, as we were talking, when I feel myself trying to explain something and you have that moment where you're like, you're getting excited about it and you keep talking about it.
As yeah.
I probably do. you can tell when somebody's excited about something, and that tends to drive me. So I want to make impact. I really want to work towards a bigger purpose, but there's also other things that come into it as well. Is like, I love having a creative outlet, you know, all these values that we have. When you start to do that one, that thing that fires up all of those values, that's what drives me. But also financial stability, especially when you have challenging times when you didn't have as much financial stability as you would have liked, that is nice to have. So that helps hopefully make the good decisions of, yes, go towards what's driving you to live out your values, but how can I also do it in a smart way where – because money is a tool, right? It's a resource.
Right.
So whether you have it, if you're a bad person, it's going to do bad things. If you're a good person, it came to go to do good things. So you want to make sure that you have the resources to fuel obtaining and doing all those things that you dream of doing.
Makes sense.
So I think that helps drive you as well. Is again, you want to do it in a financially smart way of doing it so you can continue to do it and do it to the extent and the longevity that you would like to do so.
When you find yourself stressed out about some of these new things that you're working on, like what is something you use to cope or get yourself to the next level?
So finding people that can encourage you, whether they've gone through something similar. And a lot of times you have to be proactive. I reached out to a friend at church. I didn't know her super well, but I could tell that I seemed to like her. She had a good aura about her, I guess.
Yeah.
And I just asked her, can I take you out to coffee? And it's just, it's no pressure. You're not having to spill your soul either. If you get there, that's great too. But I think it's making sure that you're surrounding yourself with good people, whether it's to ask a more businessy question, that's okay too. But also just kind of getting that refreshed feel. Because I think, I don't know for others, but I work remotely. So sometimes it can feel really lonely and you feel like you're by yourself, and it's like, oh, it's all on my shoulders. And honestly, it can happen even if you're surrounded by people all day. I think we can feel lonely even in those situations. And so that encouragement really is making sure that you have a good support network. And oftentimes it does take that proactive approach to make sure you're making good connections and you're checking in and you're getting that sense of support and security that you need.
That's great. For people that are listening at this moment and they're in a similar position like you, they're considering going different avenues, like what's something you would suggest for them that they could take away from our conversation today? What do you think would be one helpful nugget?
Start small. I think taking one step towards that direction, whether it is reaching out and talking to one individual because they might be doing something similar to what you're doing and just asking them about it. I think it's very easy to get overwhelmed when you look at the big vision that's way over here. But it's coming back and doing those small steps. You talked about your strategies and your planning. Michael Hyatt was your inspiration. And they talk about, you know, you have some year goals, but all right, now let's go to what are we going to do in Q1, yeah. Right? So it's that one step at a time, whether it's talking to that one person, it's downloading your first podcast to listen to, which you already are listening to podcasts, so good for you. But, you know, that one small step that will get you to the next one, and it will start to compound and you will get there.
I love it. I really appreciate all of your thoughts and being open and sharing parts of your story today. And I'm sure people who are listening are going to appreciate it just as much. And on a complete opposite note here, I always like to end the show on something completely random. If you were stranded on an island and you could eat one food for the rest of your life, just one food, what would that food be?
Oh, goodness. One food. I don't know if this is going to sound weird or not, but I just love oatmeal. And I think that's a good way to go because it's filling. So if I'm staring on an island and I can only have one food, I think oatmeal would be the good way to go. It's filling.
I love it. Is there any way you would have it?
Oh, you mean, well, I didn't know if adding things would
you can have it whatever way you want.
Mean multiple foods. I eat it kind of plain with like cinnamon and a little sweetener, which is good for me. But man, if I can add a little bit more to that, I'd probably add a little bit of fruit in there just to add some different flavor.
But it just randomly just pops up every day. So I love it. Thanks.
Oatmeal. Yes, tree.
Well, it was good having you here, Megan. I appreciate you taking the time to talk with me and share your story with our listeners.
Thank you so much again for having me.
So anyone, if you want to connect with Megan or if you want to check out also her stuff that she's got going on, I will make sure we provide the information in the show notes of our episode today. And also, if you are finding our show to be interesting, you love it, share it with a friend or two. It could really help us be able to spread the amount of people who know about what we have content-wise out there. At the same time, I think we're up at like 170 episodes now, so we've got a lot of information. So if you're finding this to be awesome and you want to be able to help us more, please share it with a friend or two of yours. This is Tom Seiko wishing you a lifetime of financial success. Don't forget to visit our website and sign up for our newsletter. By subscribing, you'll be the first to know about upcoming race-approved CE webinars, podcast releases, short presentations, and articles that we publish. Make sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on LinkedIn, and subscribe to our YouTube channel.
CJ Burnett and Tom Seiko are registered representatives and financial advisors of Park Avenue Securities, LLC, and financial representatives of the Guardian Life Insurance Company of America, New York, New York. CJ Burnett's and Tom Seiko's California licenses are 0K79676 and 0K80141, respectively. Security products and advisory services are offered through Park Avenue Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer, investment advisor, member of FINRA and the SIPC, and a wholly owned subsidiary of Guardian. Florida Veterinary Advisors is not an affiliate or subsidiary of Park Avenue Securities or Guardian. This podcast is for information purposes only. Guest speakers and their firms are not affiliated with or endorsed by Park Avenue Securities, Guardian, or Florida Veterinary Advisors, and opinions stated are their own. This material is intended for general use. By providing the content, Park Avenue Securities, LLC, and your financial representative are not undertaking to provide investment advice or make a recommendation for a specific individual or situation, or to otherwise act in a fiduciary capacity. All investments contain risk and may lose value. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. The individuals associated with Florida Veterinary Advisors do not maintain specialized licenses or qualifications for the financial services provided to veterinary professionals. Florida Veterinary Advisors is not registered in any state or with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission as a registered investment advisor.
Submission number 2024-170825 expires March 2026.